Take a look on page 44.
You moving in over here, lady?
Page 44, the right column, in the middle of the page. This how late the fun I the hey a tummy. Shem said,
Yes, sir.
A Nissan.
Walk before me and be tummy. A tummy could be complete, could mean pure. And it's referring to the performance of the Bris Mila. Masha Nikra Tum Ema Yidei HaMila. Barsama says that which a human being is called tummy, complete or whole, through the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Biyur Ha'inyan, the explanation of this is Sheyesh La'adam Shnei Kolchos. A human being has two forces or powers. Ba'ulam Hazeh u'ba'ulam Ha'elyon. We have a Koach which is in this world, Olam Hazeh, and we have a Koach which is above, in higher worlds. V'hainu Koach HaNefesh B'guf, V'Koach HaNeshama Shalom Ha'elyon.
So do we?
And that is to say, the power of the nefesh, which is within the body, and he's referring to here, most likely the nefesh habahamis.
Mm-hmm.
The nefesh habahamis functions within the human being, where our intelligence, our emotions, our drives come from. That's here, and then he says we have the koach haneshama shalamayla, the power of our neshama above. She'eno mispashe b'gufa adam, which does not extend itself into the body of a human being. Now, what he could also be referring to there when he says the koach hanefesh b'guf could also be the lower parts of the neshama, not necessarily the nefesh habahamis, which certainly would be the case, but he may be talking about the lower rungs of the neshama itself, which have a direct relationship with the body, and the higher parts of the neshama, which affect the body from the outside. What's known as a concept similar to a makif, something that affects us by encompassing us, by surrounding us, whereas a panimi is something that affects us from within. So these are the two powers. We have this within us, and another power that stands above us, is higher than us. It doesn't extend inside, per se, but it still affects us from above. Hilly, do you want to comment?
I just wanted to explore more fully my understanding of, so women who don't have a bris mila, do we just assume that this bechina of tamim is an element, is intrinsic, that's muso of women?
We would make two assumptions. That is one of them, that it's already present. Mm-hmm. And the other is that quality comes into Klal Yisroel as a whole, both men and women, through the Jewish man. Mm-hmm. So for example, in benching, second paragraph in benching, it says that we're obligated to mention bris and Torah. If you don't mention bris and Torah, abris v'ashef asam to b'yusereinu, yal teres v'asheli matatanu, ino delechad. If you don't mention that, we're not yotzei, that particular part. So the question is raised, what about women? How can they say abris v'ashef asam to b'yusereinu, you've impressed the bris in our flesh? Mm-hmm. Women does not have a bris mila.
Okay.
And one of the approaches is the second one that I mentioned.
Okay.
That is present in Klal Yisrael, through the Jewish man. Now what this means also is that it works the other way around as well. Right? For example, a man does not directly have the mitzvah of mitzvah as a chiyuv anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A minhag, that's one thing, that's a chiyuv. But a woman does.
What do you mean anymore? You mean from
when you had to. But in Bismat HaZeh, only a woman has a chiyuv tefillah. So the realm of Tahara, in that respect, is achieved really by Jewish women. And it comes to the whole Klal Yisroel through the women. So we can't look at this as a one-sided thing that the women get because the men have it, the women get it too. It works both ways.
So are you trying to say that a married couple, when the wife goes to the mikvah, that...
affects her husband as well.
That's when it affects her husband. I'm narrowing it down, not to Klal Yisrael, to more...
Absolutely. And why do we call it Taharas HaMishpacha?
Right.
We don't call it per se Taharas HaIsha.
Is that the same...
It's the power of the whole family.
Right. Is that in the same respect that the husband who had a bris milah?
Mm-hmm. Similar kind.
Then in one sense, you can say that that shows that we're not whole until we're together with male and female.
That's right, and male and female.
Right, I'm narrowing it down. It's easier for me to conceptualize
it. It's very esoteric, important kind. Yes, Josh?
I think it would be because, for one reason, it would be because there would be a separation between the men and the women, because women don't wear talis and tefillin, and men are obligated to it. And it's also because the women are at a higher madrega than the men.
But they don't need it.
Okay. Well, that's good education.
If you were a woman saying that, you'd never get away with it.
He's homeschooled by his mother. So. Just want to let you know it's all coming down.
That's right.
Very nice.
No, it wasn't a question, it was a statement.
Josh, we're joking. It was a good question.
Oh, a statement.
Good statement.
Thanks. Sorry.
That was very
nice. I wanted to think you were joking. Okay, Shehalad Mzotha Umakashir Atzma Lakalaf Mishmasa. When a person merits to connect himself to the power of his soul, to the higher human being, Nikra Tamin, this is when a person is called Tamin, whole or complete. Ubab is Bris Hamila, and this happens through the power of Bris Mila. Lachem Nikra Bris. That's why it is called a Bris. A Bris means a covenant between two parties, really. What are the two parties in the Bris Mila? Shemakasher Machaber Haguf Beha'oras Nishmasa. The body and the soul are the two parties of the covenant of Bris. And they both join through that. Let me just finish this one thing. Hachofefes al Haguf. The soul which hovers over the body and the body itself, they're bound through breath. So the Midrash Isa Kitama Avraham Echal Yudesha Yechatech Ever Yihya Nikra Tamim. The Midrash writes that Abraham was in a wondrous state. How could it be that by cutting the foreskin he would be called Tamim? In other words, you're losing something. You're cutting something off. How are you becoming complete through the loss of the foreskin? The truth is that it is through this lack, which is the lacking of something negative, it's the dismissal of and the removal of something negative, the zocha el hashlemus, that one attains wholeness, ki haguf hu ba'al chesaron, because the body is flawed. As beautiful as the body is, it's flawed. And through taking something away from the goof in that respect, we open ourselves up to the shlemus of the nisham. Avi, you were going to say something?
Well, that may have just... What I was looking at, because initially it made it sound like that automatically happens at a bris, that this binding of the two occurs. Yet earlier he states this stays above the goof. And yet, as an 8-year-old baby, I would not know how I could say. Now, Abraham, I could see, made a commitment in much older age,
right.
So it was easy for him to say, "I'm connecting to this thing." But is it more that it gives us? And I think in the end, you kind of alluded to it. Gives us the potential to.
It's both. There is an actual shlemus and a tenimus that is attained by the bris. So the body is then bound to the neshama in a way that it was not bound before.
Right.
That's true. And secondly, the potential then for the future to be mechaber, the goof, and the neshama is heightened.
Okay.
So both of those things occur.
Can a new person make a comment?
Please.
First, I'm in two things. I'm interested in your translation of chesaron as flawed, as opposed to something like lacking,
mm-hmm.
which it can also be
also
translated
fine.
As lacking.
Also fine.
English flawed has a real negative connotation, whereas lacking, I think, links more back to shlemut, to to making something.
That's fine.
Would you buy that?
Yeah, that's the concept I was addressing.
Okay.
Yeah. Of being lacking, yeah.
Second thing, and perhaps this is for another time, but it's always interesting to me that only a few of the Mefarshim actually get into the concept of contracts when they examine the concept of Brit Milah in Abraham and therefore every generation's role. And who can make a contract on behalf of a minor? Because it seems that that's really what you're doing here. You are entering into a contract on behalf of one who is only going to later understand the obligations of the contract to which he's been obligated. But very few of the Mefarshim actually examine it. They all seem to take it more from the metaphysical level than from the actual contractual level, which seems to be really at the root of the enterprise, for lack of a better word, here.
I think one of the ideas that Brit Milah is one of the most unusual mitzvahs in this respect, a mitzvah that is performed on somebody who is not a bar das, who is not of a mature mind, by a parent. And I think that the bris itself, although it affects most directly the child who now has the bris, is part of this connection here, but the contract is between the parent and Hashem.
Right.
And the way we sign a contract between ourselves and God is by telling God how we're going to direct our children. That's the ultimate contract. We have our own lives, but what about the future? So that bris, which we call bris Hashem Avraham Avinu, is between the parent and God, as well as the child who receives the effect of it. This is what I'm going to do with my life, with my future, with the descendants of Klal Yisrael. And there is a Bar Das, father.
Father.
Hopefully.
Right. Right.
In that sense, it's sort of like the whole Rotten Torah, where it accepted Torah for all generations.
Okay. Okay. Yisra b'zor ha-kadosh al-pasuk Hashem chafetz deka'u ha-choli. As it says on the pasuk, I'm not sure what this pasuk is. It sounds like Tehillim, but I don't quite recognize it. Hashem desires, and the act of subduing that which is not well. Shal yidei chisaron beguf zocha l'shleimu shel ha'nesham, which means to say that by overcoming that which is lacking, I use Levi's word, that which is lacking, by overcoming it, a person then merits the shleimus of the nesham. The Yisra b'zor ha'kadosh bereishis beris esh. The Zohar, which by the way goes through many variations of the word Bereshis, the Tikkuni Zohar is all about that, taking the word Bereshis and writing it in all kinds of different forms. So one of it is Beris Esh, to break down the word Bereshis into a bris of fire. Pirish Shakol Habriya al Yidei HaTorah, Ubavade Kolach Habriya Shabatorah, Hubat Hanhaga Sholama Alamehagu. He says, certainly the word Bereshis, which represents creation, all of creation is guided through Torah, as we've learned before, and certainly the power of creation, which is within Torah, is a power which is higher, mehagu, the hagashmius, which is higher than physicality, the power which guides the world that stands above the physical. Although it penetrates and it guides the physical, but its origination is above the physical, the Nikra Esh Dust, and it is called an Esh Dust, a fire of dust. Now dust means, sometimes translated as religion or religious discipline, it means the code of the Torah, a fiery code. And from here they derive that, the black fire and white fire as well. Kolomar Hanhoga Elokis. What this Esh Dust means is fiery code of Torah is God's own pattern of how he guides and leads the world. That's this fire. And through Torah, we achieve something similar to Bris Mila. Through Torah, we can connect this world, Olam Hazeh, the Koach Chiyus HaKedusha, to the power of the Kedusha, which is above this world, Shemisham Shoresh HaKol, where the root of all things lie. And this is what the Torah takes pride in, so to speak. I will be with him, Amun. Amun means like a craftsman, or it means a person who has faith or trustworthy. It's darshan in many ways. And it refers to the Torah. That the Torah is like a finely developed craftsman. It can take effect on the physical world of human beings and refine and develop and make us into, with our own efforts, a refined and a whole being. V'habruim into creation. L'kasher osam v'koach ha'pnimi shalamala mehateva. By binding us to the higher inner force which stands above nature. So in that respect, he's contrasting, comparing the Torah to Bris. Bris is the covenant between the guf and the neshama that connects body to soul and allows the body to be affected by the soul more directly. Torah does the same thing in a large scope. That Torah allows the connection of Olam Hazeh to the Olamos HaAlyonim like a craftsman. That Hashem allows the development of this world to be made whole through this craftsman or artisan, which is called the Torah, the inner force of the Shaharei Alyada Nivra, because truly by means of this higher force or power, this world was created, Hakol, all things were created, Me'ayim Liesh, from nothingness into something. So the origin again comes from out of a realm called Ayin, which is translated as nothing, but it doesn't really mean nothing. Nothingness is what I translate it as. It's just to imply that it's not quite the same thing as nothing. Yesh me'ayim liyesh. V'zehu bereshis beris esh. And this is the concept of the connection of Torah, which is hinted to in the word bereshis, to beris esh, a covenant of fire. Fire here meaning conceptually the higher power of the world that guides the world. The HaTorah v'hamila inyan echad. And the Torah itself and Bris Mila are unified. They're similar. They do similar things. Kama shekasu b'midrash al pasuk magi devar av liyakov. As it says in the midrash, the pasuk that we say each morning, the second halleluka, magi devar av liyakov chukav mishpatav liyisra. Hashem told over his words to Yaakov and his laws to Israel, to Yisrael. This refers to the Torah. And they learn from there, ki b'li hamila ein zochim l'Torah, that without Bris Mila, we cannot merit Torah. Mila is a prerequisite to Torah. And we see now why, because Torah in a large sense is similar to Mila in a small sense, and the mitzvah of Bris Mila connects physical to spiritual like the Torah does in the broader universe, that allows us to step into that mode of connecting guf to neshama. And going back to Hilly's first point there, this affects all of Klal Yisrael, right? Not just that one individual who has the bris, but this power then goes into the Jewish people.
So one way of thinking about it seems to me is that it's the Bris Mila that is the means by which a prat has the potential to become part of a klal.
So that's nice too, because he's entering into Bris Hashal Avraham Avinu, Jewish people, right, through the bris.
And then, nice idea. You know, a letter in the Torah, every Jew having a letter in the Torah.
Okay, let's take a look at one more.
And also, could...
Well, let's take an extension of this idea on page 47. Also, the right column in the middle. It's this idea that we just learned, but he takes it a little further.
Can you do any of the left column when it's about Avraham Avinu?
Zacharti lo chesed nu raich. This is a pasuk from the Navi. We say it on your author of Slichos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hashem says, I remembered for you the chesed, really the love of your youth. Leftecha charai b'midbar, that you walked after me in the desert, be'eretz lo zeruah, in a land that was not planted. So this, according to the pshat of the pasuk, refers to Hashem's fondness and the way he holds dear the generation of the Midbar. He followed Hashem through the wilderness. That's the pshat of the pasuk. However, hu remez al Avraham Avinu, this pasuk on a deeper level hints to Avraham Avinu. It says you are remembered the love or the chesed of your youth. She'ozav beis aviv, because Abraham left his father's household. As I mentioned last Shabbos morning, that not only his father's household, but the entire 2,000 years of history that preceded him. This was his environment that he had the tremendous koach to lift himself out of. Umaladito, in his birthplace. The Zeha Koach Nishur Kayam B'nei Yisrael. This power to walk out of the negative influence and to step free from it and attach ourselves to something great and powerful, we have this, every individual Jew has it as a Yerusha, as an inheritance from Abraham Avinu. So whenever we got to get out of the negative, we know that there's a special power within us that came from Abraham Avinu to allow this to happen. Now he mentions that kind of just briefly, and then he gets into something about Bris Milah. Be'inyan Hamilah, it says in respect to Bris Milah, Dichsiba Midrash Tanchuma, Shal Yidei Hamilah Nasa Tamim, that through Milah, through circumcision, the human being became whole, complete. Av Shalayne Basar, who owed Mechaser Midasara, even though that with the eyes of flesh, if we were to observe somebody who had a Bris Milah, we would say that they lost something, they didn't gain something. The Orla, like we just learned. Abul Ho'inyan Hu. But the concept is, Ki Me'achar She Mitzvah Lahasir Ho'orla. Being that the mitzvah upon us is to remove the Orla, that is the mitzvah itself. Bevarai ein hachiyus hapnimius v'hakadusha mispashe b'zu ha'orla. Most certainly, inner kedusha does not extend itself to this place on the human body, the foreskin. The orla itself, he said, is not a recipient of the pnimius of kedusha, which is why we have to get rid of it.
So what do we mean here, the pnimius of kedusha? How do we understand?
Like you said earlier, that higher koach of the world, which is in everything, in kedusha, it's not there in the orla. It has some other life,
right?
But it comes from tumah.
Uh-huh.
Which is why we have to get rid of it.
But once it's removed, it seems to attach itself to kedusha.
Once it's removed, you know? then we have we've taken the initiative to remove that orla, and what's left. And what happens physically is that he's galus ha'atora, which means that it's the revelation of the crown of the penis. And that's considered to be a great act of kedusha. The revealing of the atora is, once the tumah is taken away, we're left with an organ of kedusha. And that's what's required. Before that, it covered over the atora, the crown. So that physical hiskalus ha'atur, the revelation of the crown, has a spiritual counterpart. And that's the revelation of kedusha now in a complete sense on this human being. So this pnimius ha'kedusha, which is present everywhere where there is kedusha, is not present internally in the orla. The orla is associated with tumah. Hence we remove it. The orla, the chol, Shayesh Eza Makom Timtum Ba'adam. Any place in a human being where there is Timtum, and Timtum essentially means it's closed off, it's clogged, it's not a receptacle for Kedusha. Shein Hachiyus Misorashan, where inner life does not awaken itself there, Nikra Chaser, that is called lacking. So going back to that point, that Levy touched on earlier. What is the lacking? What is the chaser?
Lacking. Is there another point on the body like that?
No, except, well, I should say yes, there is. We have orles halev. Except there's not a physical removal of orles halev. That's an inner process.
So open heart surgery doesn't fulfill that.
That's my knowledge. That's the word for that, right? That'd be too traumatic. Yes, you also have vice versa too. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any other physical manifestation of orla.
Uh-huh.
But in Avodas Hashem,
right.
In the inner human being, orla and also lips as well.
But
the
notion says you can't have one without the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Judge.
But the lips are one of the sealers, so you don't speak lashon hara.
Say it again.
The lips cover can when you close your lips to not say lashon hara.
That would be covering over in the positive sense. But the lips also open, right? So we can speak lashon tov. You can't keep them closed all the time.
Yeah.
All right. So this inability for anything to have an awakening of kedusha is called ifisara. This is what we would consider lacking. L'chein al yidei mila nikratan. Therefore, by mila, when we actually remove some part of ourself where kedusha cannot take effect, it can't by definition, the orla. We're not talking about the aver. Kedusha can be very present and is on the actual organ itself. We're talking about this little piece of foreskin that has to be removed. Ha'adam hu remez L'chol ha'briyah sh'nikra olam katan. Now he takes this concept a little further. The human being is a hint of the entire universe, as we've seen before, and is called an olam katan, a small world. A person is called a small universe. U'kmo sh'yesh orla ba'adam, just as there is on a human being a foreskin, likewise, on all things, we have this obligation to remove its covering or its foreskin. And that refers to anything present in the world that conceals Kedusha. Similar to what we just talked about, it's in our heart, it's on our lips. So that's an act of removal through Avodas Hashem. We have this in all areas. In every part of the Bria, where Kedusha is being concealed, there is an avoda there to remove that covering. Ubedoros gam ken hoyador hamabul orla l'chein nevdu. Ooh, wow, what a powerful statement. He says that historically, the generation of the mabul, of the flood, was the orla of history, and therefore had to be removed. Powerful concept.
But that means they lack kedusha from the time of creation, though. Right? If you're going to carry that as a parallel.
Well, either they lacked it always, or they got to the point where it was totally lost from them. There were tzaddikim through and through, although they were individual. So that certainly needs to be understood. That's a very, very powerful imagery. That they, it's more than imagery. He's staying in the Metzius. That they were the Orla.
Could that have to do with B'nai Elohim?
Yes, and everybody who was around them at that time as well.
Yeah, and Noach was Tum.
Right.
He actually had two species of people.
He's a relative to his generation, like the name generation.
And he was born with
Mahl,
yeah.
So what you're saying is you had two species of people living on the earth at the time.
That's what it seems like. Now, if you look at the Rampal, the Derech Hashem there, he says that's when people historically had the ability to regain what Adam HaRishon lost and got it, or not to regain.
Mm-hmm. That's who the B'nai Elohim were?
That's anybody at those times had the ability to do that. All the way till the generation of Abraham. And the only person who did it was Avram. And from that point on, the nations of the world and the Jewish people became truly separate. Up until that point, there was the ability, according to the Rambam, for other people as well to gain this, but they didn't. Now his statement here, which has no real, it doesn't elaborate, I hesitate to say how that would fit in. Either by choice they became separate, and they lost their potential, and they became like an orla, or else there was something about those times that they were born that way. It would seem to me that it came by choice.
What is the choice of orla?
Orla, Ayin Resh Lamed. That is the shorish. It's a feminine form of the word orla.
Have you ever seen what the Al-Hakham Yehuda Fatya says in his Sefer Mincha Yehuda?
No.
You should get it from someone.
Okay.
Because it has to do with the B'nai Mincha.
Say it again?
It has to do with the B'nai Mincha. Okay.
They were,
it was
the world, but they were glad for the reading, that they were covering it up. They were...
On a regular basis. Generation,
right?
Well, 10 generations.
That's
right.
So, we feel that we seem to judge the previous generations, so strictly, I guess, we'd have to just an extreme point where the Kedusha couldn't come out at all.
They got to that point.
And, but still, even afterward, in the same way that just, even as we keep breastfeeding at 8, but the Kedusha of a child doesn't really come out in that same sense until much later, for us, say,
Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah, Bar Mitzvah. So that Kedusha could not have come out at all if the door mop had been allowed to continue.
Right. It had to be removed. If that parallel is continued all the way through, it would be fully achieved later on. And the bris was at the mavel, and then he's going to mention this in a minute, that through Avraham it achieved its ultimate renewal. Let's take a look at that and see what he says. Therefore, this generation, which was like the orla of history, that's a great way to be remembered, isn't it? they perished, and as a result of that, Noach HaTzadik was revealed as a tamim, and the Torah calls him tzadik tamim. But Abraham hoya hischachus meyat. Me'afela le'or. With Abraham, there was an additional renewal of this emergence from the darkness into the light. Shemikonim hayatohu. Before Abraham was a period of time called tohu. It was a void and an emptiness. There was no moral structure in the world. Kida'isa b'medrash. Lachen hutzrof l'shano shinoi ma'aseh b'mila. Yishinoi makom lech lecha. The Shinui Hashem. It says, therefore, in order for Avraham to fully emerge from the darkness that preceded him, he had to undergo three changes. One is a Shinui Maaseh. Shinui Maaseh means when you take something and you make it into something else, physically. You have a piece of wood and you carve it into something else, into a door, whatever it might be. That's a Shinui Maaseh. It's a new thing. That he did. That was his Mila. Shinui Mako means a change of location, which is also a way of creating something from anew. Hashem gave him that too, Lech Lecha, change your place. And the final one is Shinui Hashem. When you do something to an object, and now it has a different name than it had previously, that's also a rebirth. Shinui Hashem, Hashem changed him from Avram to Abraham. This is a halachic axiom he's talking about here. Shinui makom, shinui hashem, shinui maisa has to do with the laws of theft. when you steal something, a person steals something and they change it into something else, they make a kinyan on it. It's theirs now. They're obligated to repay the value. But this is a new object. They have to pay what it's worth or double its worth. So So making a shinui changes something into something different. And Avraham, who emerged from out of the 2,000 years of Tohu, something had to be changed in addition to his own avoda to fully bring him apart. And he says all three things. Shinui Maisa, the Mila, Shinui Makom, Lech Lecha, and Shinui Hashem, from Avram to Abraham. Yeshua.